Measurements of the size and composition of aerosols, tiny particles suspended in the atmosphere, have revealed that Arctic haze over Alaska may be caused by the infiltration of industrial pollutants from Eurasia. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. The Geophysical Institute of the University of Alaska Fairbanks has long been involved in studies of Arctic air contamination. Monitoring sites at Barrow and Chattanooga provide much of the data used for study. Studies to date indicate that aerosols are present in large quantities in late winter and spring. During these periods, the particles can interact significantly with and modify the flux of radiation that reaches the surface of the polar region that has the potential to cause climatic change. At Barrow, the highest concentration of pollutants occurs in the spring. Scientists explain this concentration in part through meteorology. It is thought that the particles concentrate at that time because, during the spring, the fastest transport of air between the mid and high latitudes occurs. The circulation of air is also most intense during this period. A cold, clear, and stable atmosphere produces minimum removal mechanisms such as rain. This past spring, scientists studied three episodes of Arctic haze between February and April over central Alaska. Whenever the general airflow entered from the east or south, X-ray analysis showed aerosols consisted mainly of aluminum, chlorine, or sodium. Northern airflow revealed the presence of heavy metals such as iron, nickel, chromium, and manganese. Tracing efforts pinpointed ore mining and a smelting complex in the Soviet Union as the culprit. Arctic haze outbreaks and the connection to air transport pathways continue to be studied by the Geophysical Institute as the Arctic haze phenomenon is being increasingly recognized as an important example of transport of pollutants on intercontinental scales. I'm Karen Sedzo, and I Didn't Know That was produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM. Alaska potentially contains some of the largest and most exciting geothermal resources in the United States. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. The forces that could create mountains or cause them to crumble and cover entire cities with asphyxiating gases and dust can now be harnessed. These forces are referred to as geothermal energy. The center of the Earth is composed of molten rock. A geothermal anomaly is when this hot molten rock comes closer to the ground. The other necessary condition for a geothermal field is the presence of water. Trapped and heated for centuries, the water can serve as a medium for the energy transport. Commercial application of geothermal energy for generating electricity dates back to 1906 in Italy, and for the last quarter of a century to New Zealand. Today, geothermal power plants are generating electricity in Mexico, Iceland, Indonesia, the Philippines, Soviet Union, Japan, El Salvador, the People's Republic of China, and the United States. Exploitation of this resource in Alaska is hindered by the remoteness of the resources from the population centers and the small size of the Alaskan markets. The state of Alaska has embarked on an ambitious plan for a definitive determination of geothermal potential near the few areas where economics may be favorable. On Alaska Island in the Aleutian Chain, with its large fishing and processing industry, is a prime target. At Pilgrim Springs, near Nome, a sizable shallow hot water reservoir has already been discovered. The Petroleum Engineering Department and the Geophysical Institute of the University of Alaska Fairbanks have been very active in assisting the state with the technical aspects of targeting and harnessing geothermal energy. I'm Karen Sedzo, and I Didn't Know That was produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM. The University of Alaska Fairbanks School of Agriculture and Land Resources Management is operating a 10-square-mile watershed about 15 miles north of Fairbanks to gain basic information on watersheds in the interior. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. The Spinach Creek Watershed is operated under a special land use permit from the state as a demonstration and instructional watershed for the Natural Resources Management Program of the School of Agriculture and Land Resources Management. Spinach Creek is a mix of state, borough, and private lands with little control on future land use development. Since the watershed is currently undeveloped, it will serve as a pre-development reference should land patterns change. Easily accessible by an all-weather maintained road and only a short distance from campus, the experimental watershed is regularly used for student field exercises, assignments, and research. It is used also for studies of soils, vegetation, wildlife, outdoor recreation, and land use planning. In addition to being an educational resource, the Spinach Creek Watershed provides an opportunity for research in watershed management and basic hydrology. Since little information has been available on Interior Alaska watersheds, such information is particularly important now that the state has passed a Forest Practices Act and is in the process of formulating best management practices to ensure minimum negative impact of forest land uses, such as logging, on stream water quality, aquatic habitats, and land productivity. Efforts by the School of Agriculture and Land Resources Management at Spinach Creek and by the Institute of Northern Forestry at Caribou Poker Creeks will contribute significantly to the state's ability to manage its lands. I'm Karen Sedzo, and I Didn't Know That was produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM. The Poker Flat Research Range is the only university-owned and operated rocket launching facility in the world. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. Located at 30 miles Steese Highway north of Fairbanks, the Poker Flat Research Range is a sounding rocket facility with an array of ground-based observational platforms dedicated to auroral studies and middle and upper atmospheric research. The facility is operated by the Geophysical Institute of the University of Alaska Fairbanks under a contract with the federal government. The facility is used by scientists with universities and federal agencies across the nation. The equipment housed in the Poker Optical Observatory overlooking the main launch complex, combined with the capabilities of the nearby network of radio and astronomy facilities in the Chattanooga Valley, make Poker Flat the world's best-equipped auroral zone launching facility. In addition to routine meteorological flights, several specialized projects have taken place at Poker Flat, including studies of aerosol pollution in the north. Recently, and for the first time, pulsating aurora were probed with a sounding rocket while being recorded by stereo television. The experiment measured what happens during pulsating auroras at an altitude between 85 and 100 kilometers. Scientists study the aurora in the hopes of being able to predict its occurrence. Predicting the aurora will be increasingly important in today's technologically complicated world, as auroral storms can cause severe damage and sometimes total interruption of radio communication. I'm Karen Sedzo, and I Didn't Know That was produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM. A desire to conserve water and produce a better product has resulted in new technologies for wastewater treatment and byproduct recovery in seafood processing. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. Removing solids from seafood processing wastewater is highly desirable for a number of reasons. First, the discharge of fish processing wastes into harbors and estuaries causes pollution. Second, recovery of shellfish byproducts could provide food for the hungry in the world. Now, about 70% of Alaskan king crab is discarded. Third, byproducts like chitin can be recovered and used in making a variety of biodegradable products such as plastic fittings. Finally, recycled water will lessen water consumption by processing plants that could prevent a crisis during water shortages. Scientists with the University of Alaska Fairbanks Institute of Water Resources have been developing new technologies as they investigate the effectiveness of adding a coagulant to recover solids while using both gravity settling and centrifugal separation of solids and liquids. Field tests of a mechanical device called a hydrocyclone have been conducted by IWR scientists. This device separates solids from liquids through centrifugal force. The operation is simple, inexpensive, and effective. Laboratory tests revealed the operation permitted removal of up to 90% of the crab fragments from the processing water. In addition, a pilot plant was built and tested in Kodiak. Last year, lab tests were conducted using coagulants to further concentrate the solids. The two particular coagulants studied were chitosan and ferric sulfate. Chitosan is derived from chitin, a natural part of shellfish. A 98% rate of removal has been determined in jar tests using either of the two coagulants. This year, a second pilot plant was built in Kodiak, and preliminary results on crab waste are verifying jar tests. As a result, seafood processors will be closer to being able to fully utilize shellfish while contributing to the health of the environment. I'm Karen Sedzo, and I Didn't Know That was produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM. Alaska has very extensive coal deposits, many of which are located on the North Slope, where the resources are estimated to be near several trillion tons. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. Over the past 2 years, the Mineral Industry Research Laboratory has conducted extensive coal resource investigations of the western part of the Arctic coal fields. The area extends from Corwin Bluff to Wainwright. These fields have the potential of becoming the most significant in the state. They are the largest known fields and contain a higher quality coal than found elsewhere in the state. Coal seams were sampled from outcrops, seismic shot holes, drill cores, and test wells drilled for oil exploration. The nearly 300 samples collected cover approximately 10,000 square miles and bear Cretaceous rocks under tundra cover. Most of the coal in Alaska, such as that mined at Healy, is tertiary coal. Cretaceous coal, formed during an earlier geological period, is generally a higher grade coal than the newer tertiary coal. UAF scientists believe a better understanding of the origin of this coal is needed to facilitate optimum utilization of the enormous coal resources on the slope. Recognition and interpretation of microscopic components of coal should prove useful in predicting the technological behavior or characteristics of the coal. Only then can efforts be directed at how to mine the Arctic fields and how to transport this coal to the rest of the state. I'm Karen Sedzo, and I Didn't Know That was produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM.